Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
One of the things that we do know is we do appreciate the people over the history of this nation that have paid the ultimate sacrifice, and that's for the freedoms that we share with, that we enjoy right now. I mean, when it goes down to, and I know we've all had our trips to D.C. and we see all of the protests that go on there and the unfortunate stuff that happened last night there. That's terrible, but.
This was Kerry Smith talking at the county commission meeting on Thursday. So this was just after the shooting that took place in D.C. outside the embassy, to put this in time, what he's referring to. Introducing what's going to be a proclamation on in honor of Memorial Day, but some warm-up remarks before that.
The ability for our citizens in this country to speak their mind and put their grievances forward, and we don't know what it took to get there. It's not a mattress sale. It's not a sale at some department store. It is, and it's not a celebration of your freak flag or anything else. It's about honoring the fallen.
So, Memorial Day at the beach being hinted at also. Memorial Day mattress sales, Memorial Day, you know, car wash sales, Memorial Day, whatever else. And I agree with Kerry that it's perennially one of these challenges, not just on Memorial Day, but for most of your holidays. When you really think about it, Memorial Day, the day when we honor the people who died and serving this country in military defense, it's baseball, it's grilling, it's, you know, in the case of Pensacola, it's a big party down at Park East. It's, I mean, you know, and it is mattress sales and, you know, going out to eat. And but that's the byproduct of the actual holiday, which is, of course, to commemorate those people who died on our behalf. In a weird way, the holiday itself is a little bit reminiscent of the reality. You know, the holidays, this thing, and then the periphery around the holiday is this other thing. And a lot of people don't pay a lot of attention to the main thing. Well, same thing for those who served in the military and fought and did or did not die, but made it possible for us to have ridiculous lives. I mean, you know, lives where we do all kinds of stupid, shady, short-sighted, self-serving things, and occasionally some great things. But, you know, it's kind of like this all the time. And by the way, I know we tend to think about it a lot on Memorial Day, because particularly Memorial Day has this duality, if you want to think of it that way. But, you know, Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, many, many, many major days have a reason for the day. And then the way we celebrate around that becomes something entirely different. There are a few where the celebration and the reason for the day are kind of like coincide. Valentine's Day, Halloween, you know, you wouldn't say anybody's missing the real point of Halloween, the real point of Valentine's Day. We really do the thing the way the thing is supposed to be done. But on some of these days, Veterans Day, a lot of times, Labor Day, frankly, but particularly it's acute on Memorial Day. And I mean, for me, I think it's acute on Christmas and Easter as well. But you may disagree with me about that, but that's fine. So, yeah, it's the day when we're supposed to take a moment or two or 10 or the whole day and really think about those who died so that we could have days like this, days off work, days watching baseball and races and drinking beer and grilling and going out in the boat. And, you know, it's a luxury that we have because of the people who paid that price for us. So I appreciate Kerry Smith making that remark and then issuing the actual proclamation for Santa Rosa County.
Whereas since 1868, Memorial Day has been an American day of remembrance upon which we pay our respects to and honor the memory of more than 1 million Americans who died in battle making the ultimate sacrifice for our country and our freedoms. And whereas, in keeping with the traditions that have preceded us, many of us have friends, family members, who have selflessly given themselves to the future of this great nation and who we honor on this day. And whereas these service members were someone's child, spouse, and parent, it is important that we remember every day in this great nation that our freedom came at a price.
Absolutely. And the follow-up to that proclamation, the second part, so to speak.
And whereas veterans have bravely served in all parts of the world, fighting for not only our freedoms, but for all of mankind. And whereas Santa Rosa County joins with other counties throughout the state of Florida and the United States of America in honoring those who have given their lives and recognizing that their sacrifices were noble, their heroism unparalleled, and their dedication to God and our country is unforgettable. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed on May 26, 2025, be observed as Memorial Day, passed and adopted by this Board of County Commissioners and signed by me, the chairman.
Absolutely. 6:15 on News Radio 92.3. I was just a little surprised there was no applause in the room. Because in Santa Rosa County, they applaud for a lot of things. And they did applaud at other parts of the meeting for different things. People getting their statements out about Ibis Road or various land development code issues or whatever. There's no applause for that. I thought that was a little bit odd. It is a somber day. Today where, you know, people get a little bit on, you know, you take the day seriously and then you don't know whether to say things like Happy Memorial Day because that seems to be at odds with, you know, the tone of the thing. I just say, you know, if you're taking any time and remembering, honoring, and considering, then you're ahead. That's, I think, the best thing we can do. John Pickens has got traffic on the 5. John?
That's right. No accidents to report. I-10, I-110, all our major roads are flowing smoothly, not seeing any delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
Hey, if you are out doing any shopping today or you're just in general considering that prospect of that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great selection of good quality used vehicles, too, to one, two, three, maybe 4 years young. I know the Honda Odyssey we bought was a year old. Sometimes they have cars that are more like, you know, 50,000 miles, three or four years old, something like that. The key is they're never going to be the, you know, there's like new cars, there's Frontier Motors cars, and then there's used and really used, right? And they're the lightest used because it's probably going to be the second owner of that car, maybe the third, but probably the second owner. And they're going to warranty it to 100,000 miles or 10 years because it's going to be good quality cars that you can count on just without having to pay that depreciation hit of owning it that first mile off the lot that costs you more than any other mile you ever drive in a car. You can test drive as many as you like. You can sit in as many as you like. And I recommend you do a bunch. Don't just drive two or three. And we tend to really under compare when we're buying a car. And I want you to try a bunch. Know that you got the right one. Know that you got the one that's not going to irritate you a year from now, because sometimes we don't drive them enough and then we don't notice the stuff that's going to bother us a year or two from now. Frontier, or a month from now. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants, backed by over 200 years of combined experience, has helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share. With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs. And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies that gives your business an edge. Let's make 2025 a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader, Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station, the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences, or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call me, Jeff Wayne, at 850-262-6000.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider, right now offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
May is Older Americans Month. Join Dawn and a patient from Ashner Navant Health 65 Plus on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10:30. They'll be highlighting aging trends, answering questions and texts, and discuss how Ashner Navant Health 65 Plus can help you, who they are, and where they're located on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues? Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the news radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Silent greed is people!
When I lose my voice singing all your songs, I get paranoid about the way that you've been holding on, like you're halfway gone. I'm scared.
So you remember the story that we brought to you last week that there had been machine gun fire or automatic rifle fire. Although in one picture I've seen, it looks like an M249 or what you would think of as the modern version of the M60. This was the boats full of Rangers out at Crab Island before they went over to the Billy Bowlegs Festival, and where they were allowed to shoot off the rounds as part of the demonstration, but they were not permitted to do it at Crab Island as a test. And people were freaking out, and this was what the video sounded like. This is about a week ago on Friday, so about like 9 days ago, 10 days ago. This is one video. There were several different videos, but this is the one that seemed to capture it the best. So that's what happened at the island, and then the follow-up, we had another bit of sort of, you know, eyewitness observation from one of the boat captains Channel 3 caught up with on Friday.
And I was actually on a charter at the time, and we were all kind of looking at each other the same way, like, oh, what's going on? And then we pull in right in the middle of Crab Island, and I see three military Ranger boats, and they're in full uniform. And they're shooting off shots into the sky.
Yeah, so again, like I said, I thought the one that I had seen looked more like the AR-15 or, you know, that style M4. Whereas this one I saw also, the Channel 3 had also had an M60 or M249, these modern version. Anyway, well, now the follow-up on this is that all 18 Army Ranger instructors who were involved in that have been decertified as instructors. Zips up, just like that. Army issues a press release. It says, the Army is aware of the incident that occurred at Crab Island near Fort Walton Beach, Florida, May 16th. We take the situation seriously and are investigating. The Army will ensure all accountability based on the outcome of the investigation. The Ranger instructors are assigned to Camp Rudder at Eglin Air Force Base. They have been decertified as instructors, meaning they can no longer train Army Rangers. No further information released at this time. City of Fort Walton Beach puts out a statement also, according to WAR. What happened at Crab Island was N-O-T, not capital N-O-T, part of the Billy Bowlegs Pirate Festival, capital N-O-R, nor. Nor was it approved by either the city of Fort Walton Beach or the Billy Bowlegs organization, which makes sense. City also goes on, as part of Friday night's festival schedule, soldiers from the 6th Ranger Training Battalion at Camp Rudder were to engage in a mock sea battle with Billy Bowlegs as the boat approached the Fort Walton Beach landing. That's a, I don't know, mile or two to the west. and not next to the pass at all. This battle involved the soldiers firing blanks from their weapons. This event went off as planned between 6:30 and 7 on Friday, May 16th, on Santa Rosa Sound near the Fort Walton Beach Landing. A noise alert was sent out early Friday detailing the exact time frame and location of the, quote, battle. This, as well as the noises that could be expected, this was the only approved festival activity that involved the Army Rangers firing their weapons. So, yeah. 6:24 on News Radio 92.3. On the one hand, I'll just be honest. Clearly what they did was bad judgment. Would I decertify 18 Rangers over that? I would not. This seems like some sort of punishment somewhere in between nothing and taking away their ability to train other Rangers. Like, that seems to be an overreaction to me. But, you know, I'm not the guy who has to lead troops into battle and make decisions about who and who is not fit for. But just 18 Ranger instructors seems like a high price to pay for, again, what looks like a, you know, semi-scary, but they were firing blanks. Granted, the other people didn't know, and they were scared, but, you know, a bunch of scared civilians doesn't mean you lose 18 Ranger instructors. To me. 437-1620, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Starting to see a little bit of a delay on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, but really nothing more to let you know about. It looks like the beach and 98 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
It also kind of makes me wonder, you know, I could, if you could see it for anybody, it would be for those who fired. Would the other ones also lose their certification because they didn't interfere enough, didn't stop them fast enough, didn't say, no, hey, stop that? I mean, those seem to be different levels of offense as well. And again, it's a pretty stiff price to pay. I don't know. Feel free to disagree. David, you were in the military, but I want to ask you your opinion because you're a news guy. So what do you have going on in the newsroom, sir?
Well, quite a bit, actually. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky criticizing the U.S. and the international community for their silence after Russia's largest aerial assault yet over the weekend. It killed at least 12 people. The barrage included more than 350 drones and missiles and targeted 30 cities and villages across Ukraine. President Donald Trump has now condemned Putin for needlessly killing civilians, but he also suggested that Zelensky's comments were unhelpful. The attacks coincided with a prisoner exchange between Ukraine and Russia. A man was arrested at the John F. Kennedy Airport for allegedly attempting to firebomb the U.S. Embassy in Tel Aviv. Officials say Joseph Neumeier, who's a dual American-German citizen, had been previously detained in Israel after a confrontation where he'd assaulted a security guard and left behind a backpack containing Molotov cocktails. Neumeier had made some threatening social media posts, including calls to burn down the embassy and threats against President Trump.
Molotov cocktails in a backpack?
That will draw some attention.
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking practically, okay? You know, an open bottle of vodka with a wick sticking out of it, and you're carrying what in a backpack? Five or six 750 milliliter bottles?
Yeah, something
clangety
like that.
Clangety clang it around. You know, you got to be careful how you set it down that they don't tip over. I mean, just doesn't seem like the best plan to me. Seems like a bit of a, you know, unskilled application. I'll just put it that
perhaps
way.
Perhaps it could have been better thought out.
I'm not hoping that the terrorist anti-Semite is smarter. I'm just, you know, sometimes, you know, one of the things we sometimes just don't think about the details right in some of these stories. And sometimes the more you think about it, the less it makes sense.
No, that
you
know? It's a solid observation. So, it could have been better thought out for sure.
It doesn't seem like the, a crate. I mean, granted, it's a little bit more exposed to what people might see, but, you know, paper bag inside a crate. I mean, a crate you could set down and it holds stuff upright. Backpack. I mean, backpacks are slopping over all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Totally.
I'm just glad nothing happened. That allows me to be able to make a joke or two. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. So, thanks so much, David. 628 News Radio 92.3. Saddle up for the Favor House Roundup, June 13th from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Escambia County. You want to take a guess here? The Equestrian Center. Saddle up, get it? Enjoy a toe tap and knee slap and good time with live country music, dancing, walkabout, food tasting, fun, and games, all for a great cause. Every dollar raised supports Favor House Northwest Florida, which, of course, is one of these things we wish did not exist, but we are glad that it does in response to the horrible things that make it have to exist. 437-1620, what was the other one? Oh, yeah, Fiesta Boat Parade comes up May 31st, so that is, let's see, it's Saturday, 2 p.m., hosted by Fiesta Pensacola. A lively celebration of our coastal culture will feature dazzling boats and endless good vibes. Don't miss the excitement. Learn more information on catcountry987.com, our sister station. 629 on News Radio 92.3. If you have a project that you have to work on, you have to repair something around the home, you want to improve, you want to remodel, rebuild, or maybe you're a builder. I don't know. Everybody's at a different level of, you know, interaction. I am at the, whatever the builder level is at, I'm at the opposite. You know, like do as little and as infrequently as possible for me. But I'm glad Pensacola Hardware is there when I need them, because they have really what they specialize in is two things. Number one, they specialize in building. Like if you're a builder, they're your place. They are your commercial construction supply business, you know, for 173 years. Actually, 174, I think. The warehouse is here. They do specified products, special orders, whatever you need, they can take care of you. On the other hand, if you're more like me and you just need basic supplies, they specialize in high quality. Good things that you will not have to replace quickly, you know, because sometimes cheap hardware is not worth the savings, right? Because, you know, if you have to buy it five times as often, did you really save much money? And if it breaks on you, is it really saving you the time? No. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown. Talk to Jimmy or Martin or Mansfield about what they can do for you. 20 East Gregory Street since 1851.
Gianna Gelosi, Russia unleashing one of its largest drone and missile strikes overnight, killing at least a dozen people in Ukraine. It was the second large-scale attack in two nights, and President Trump says Russia's President Vladimir Putin has gone absolutely crazy.
I don't know what the hell happened to Putin. I've known him a long time, always gotten along with him, but he's sending rockets into cities and killing people, and I don't like it at all, okay?
Trump says he's now considering putting more sanctions on Russia, while elsewhere in Europe, he's agreed to delay the 50% tariff on the EU after getting a call from the European Commission president.
We had a very nice call, and I agreed to move it. I believe July 9th would be the date.
The president is going to go to Arlington National Cemetery later today to mark Memorial Day and lay a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 6:31 at News Radio 92.3, 86 degrees right now, and partly cloudy skies across the area. Escambia County investigators looking into a drive-by shooting reported on Saturday on Devane Street. This was reported about 4 a.m. Saturday morning. Officials say the gunfire was reportedly targeting a camper trailer. No, nobody was hurt in the shooting. A search for suspects is currently ongoing. The sheriff's office asking anybody with information to contact them or to call Crime Stoppers. A 61-year-old man has been arrested for DUI after a crash in Santa Rosa County that left a 16-year-old boy seriously injured on Saturday. Authorities say Arthur Belton veered into the teen's lane on State Road 399 near the Navarre Beach Causeway Bridge, causing a head-on collision. The teen was driving a Chevrolet pickup truck. He was transported to a local trauma center with serious injuries. Belton is being held in the Santa Rosa County Jail on a $2,500 bond. A suspect was taken to a hospital after a deputy-involved shooting on Sunday. The sheriff's office says the deputy responded to the University Town Plaza for a trespassing call where they were notified of a disturbance and several gunshots at the 850 Fusion. When the deputy was investigating, officials say he was confronted by an armed suspect. The deputy fired towards that suspect. However, it's unknown whether their injuries were caused by those gunshots or the previously reported shots. Fortunately, no officers were injured. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement is investigating the incident. Governor Ron DeSantis has signed a death warrant for Thomas Guidinas, a 51-year-old man convicted of a 1994 rape and murder in downtown Orlando. Guidinas is scheduled to be executed June 24th. It would make him the seventh inmate put to death in Florida this year. Five executions have already taken place. Another is scheduled on June 10th. A Navarre teenager injured after an accident between his electric scooter and a pickup truck on Saturday. Officials say the 17-year-old was riding his e-scooter and did not stop at a stop sign. That led to a collision with a pickup truck at Frankfort Street and Hemlock Drive. FHP says that teen was airlifted to Sacred Heart with serious injuries. The truck driver was not hurt. It's 6:34 at News Radio 92.3. And looking at our forecast for today, we are looking for a chance of some isolated showers and thunderstorms. And other than that, a high of around 87 degrees. Mid-80s here for the rest of the week, and cloudy skies as well. Some more rain chances here throughout the week. It is 6:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our financial report from Your Money Now.
I'm Chad Robison with Your Money Now. The richest 10 Americans got $365 billion richer over the past year, according to a new analysis from Oxfam. The stunning increase in wealth amounts to a gain of roughly $1 billion a day for those billionaires. By contrast, the typical American worker made just over $50,000 in 2023. Oxfam found that it would take a staggering 726,000 years for 10 U.S. workers at median earnings to make that much money. Elon Musk alone got $186 billion richer, according to the analysis. As fast food staple Burger King enters the next phase of its turnaround efforts, the chain is trying to lure families back with colored Whopper buns and kid-friendly movie partnerships. Parent restaurant brand International will sell new menu items inspired by the live-action remake of How to Train Your Dragon. The markets are closed today for the holiday and will reopen tomorrow. That's Your Money Now.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
I know you wanna leave me, but I refuse to let you go.
Ain't Too Proud is a celebration that brings the audience to its feet.
Ain't too proud to bear. Ain't too proud to LA.
The Grammy-winning songs. The Tony-winning moves.
Ain't too proud to be.
Ain't too proud. The life and times of the Temptations. June 4th and 5th, Pensacola Sanger Theater. On sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola, tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Morning, everyone.
We're here for public forum.
Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Address this NOAA Atlas 14. Coming up and saying NOAA Atlas 14 is required, is an absolute must, and since leaving it there, I've been digging into NOAA Atlas 14 for 2.5 years there, and I came in with the mindset of NOAA Atlas 14 is what we need to do. Now, from 2.5 years of research into it, I'm going to tell you, no, it is not what we need to do. NOAA Atlas 14, one of the biggest problems I have with it is you have one rain gauge in Santa Rosa County. It's on experiment station. It's at 182 in Allentown. The other one is at the Pensacola International Airport.
All right, if you're not familiar with the arc of this particular story, I'll help you out. For several years now, you have had Chris Kerb, who is a former employee at Escambia County, worked with them for a long time, I think in planning, zoning, flood mitigation. I forget, I don't want to under-describe what he did, but he's kind of a, you know, local expert in this stuff. And when he left the county, he then went to work for flood defenders as a local lobbyist. And he goes to, you know, county commission meetings and city council meetings, but mostly county commission and zoning and that kind of stuff, and talks about various storm water and flood water mitigation related things. And one of the frequent things that he says is the importance of getting all of our stormwater data that is the basis of making decisions about where you can and cannot build. Upgraded to what he describes as NOAA Atlas 14, this system that Kerry Smith is talking about, which is an upgraded, different set of data from the current stuff that is used. And I think it's Escambia actually did update to NOAA Atlas 14 last year, if I remember correctly. And apologize if I got that wrong, but I think that's true. Well, what Kerry Smith is saying is I'm not sold on this NOAA Atlas 14 because I came in thinking, yeah, that's the right one to be doing. And the more I look into it, the more I'm not sure, he says, because the rain gauges are, there's one in Allentown in North Santa Rosa County, and there's one at Pensacola International Airport, and that's it. And the problem is that the rain is very different across the county, across both counties, let alone at just one measuring station in each county. And so it might seem like a good thing because it's newer data or an updated model, but it's not necessarily good modeling for understanding rainfall across the entire county in different parts of it.
Now, if you're going to tell me when I go to church in Allentown that you get the same rainfall in Allentown that you do at my house, I'll just look at you funny. That's all I'm going to do because I know that.
And so if you're planning, you know, flood maps, for example, or where you should or shouldn't build and what kind of stormwater retention ponds or detention ponds you ought to build for a community, and you're basing it on data that is really not a good indicator of that location, but is, like I said, this one, and like he said, this one place across the whole county, well, you're going to overbuild or underbuild or build inappropriately, and the point is to get better data.
This is not proper gauging, and NOAA is even acknowledging this by developing NOAA Atlas 15. Now, NOAA Atlas 15, it goes by Doppler radar, which makes so much more sense.
Because you can know at a given place what's really falling on that day, during what hour, and so forth. And before we get too much more into this, let me just say I don't consider myself an expert on this. I'm just relaying to you, I've relayed to you many times what Chris has said, what the county commission has said in response to him, and this was... This wasn't specifically about anything on the agenda for them so much as talking about the Land Development Code Task Force that's underway, and apparently it's become a big issue for them. I have not watched any of those meetings. I'm not sure that I need to. It kind of has percolated its way up as controversy. There's been some allegations about video tampering and, you know, defamation, and it's a lot of backstory that, you know, sometimes even I pass on the drama. I think, you know, if you want to get into it, that's fine. But anyway, Kerry Smith felt that it was appropriate to say that NOAA Atlas 14 was not the end-all, cure-all solution for all ills that ail anybody in relation to stormwater mitigation.
We can't sit here and keep throwing around NOAA Atlas 14 like we know what we're talking about. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not a PE. I know I'm not. But I know I've talked to enough of them to where they're saying it's not going to make a difference. It's going to make a bigger hole in the ground. It's going to make a bigger pond when it's not necessary. So when we start making a bigger pond unnecessarily, we're creating other problems.
PE being professional engineer, and what he's basically saying is that the engineers are telling him it doesn't make any difference. It might call for making a bigger retention or detention pond, but if none of the ponds are failing that are built to the most recent standards and aren't NOAA Atlas 14, you know, what problem are we solving for? The real problems in Santa Rosa County, as they've said many times in the past, are older ponds or older subdivisions or older designs that were based on inadequate data. But the newer ones, they say, he says, and relates the engineer saying, those are not the problem. And so you don't need to fix a thing that's not broken, right?
So let's get down to, you know, doing the real fix. And let's not keep, I'm over it. I know Commissioner Burkett, I know where you're at on it. And I don't like to see our task force getting sidetracked and derailed by an individual that keeps espousing this as being the biggest problem that we have.
And again, I have not watched that meeting, but I assume he's talking about Chris Kerr, because that is definitely something Chris talks about almost every time he gets the mic. And so I'm presuming that that's what's going on here. It could be somebody else, I suppose, but I'm guessing that's the case. We'll come back to this in a second, because it was interesting to hear the follow-up comments from Ray Eddington and Colton Wright and Bobby Burkett about this. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110, 9890. All our trouble spots are actually flowing very smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So back to the conversation about the Land Development Code Task Force that's operating in Santa Rosa County to rewrite the LDC, Land Development Code. That's how you build things and what rules you have to follow and when you build things. And Ray Eddington, District, I got to think about this, four. I always have to run through the map of where things are in my head. I know he's Navarre, and then I have to think, is that four or five? Well, that's four. Colton Wright is five. That's Midway Gulf Breeze.
Following up on this NOAA 14, I've had people come to me. I don't know if the people know this, but DEP is coming at the end of this year with a new plan. We need to see what they got. I don't want to go to NOAA 14, and then DEP said, hey, we got to do all these changes again. That's something we got to look at.
Yeah, I mean, if the current standard isn't causing problems, and if the next standard is coming soon, why change so you can change? You know, that makes sense to me.
We put these people on this board.
Oh, yeah. The other issue that had come up was that there was a lot of what Ray Eddington would call fussing and squabbling going on. You know, like I told you, the video editing allegation, the who owns which website allegation, and members of the board even threatening or bringing lawsuits against each other for the Land Development Code Task Force. That's the context here.
We put these people on this board to do five things, to study them. They got on NOAA 14 at the last meeting, and there's some things were said at that board meeting. I watched these meetings. It was ridiculous. These people is grown people and act grown.
Which I, you know, again, having not watched the meetings, I don't know.
I don't have no bad feelings, but I do not like the fussing and speaking out.
And at the previous meeting on Monday, this is the Thursday meeting, at the previous meeting on Monday, you'd had, I think, both Bobby Burkett and Ray Eddington had said they don't like the tone of what they see in the meetings. And then Colton Wright chimed in, District 5.
And I didn't see anything that I would view as being silly or argumentative. I saw a couple instances where task force members asked other task force members to kind of come full circle, bring it in for a landing to try to keep the meeting on task, because it was a very long meeting, frankly, longer than I think that it was, certainly much longer than it was planned for. And oftentimes we've seen that happen here. We've seen that happen with this board. We've seen it happen with previous boards. I can remember a specific quote that gets played on a weekly basis from former Commissioner Peach saying, Commissioner Parker, please wrap it up, right?
That's an indirect mention. Every time we play the rap setup on Friday, that's Commissioner Peach, who's forever immortalized in that stager. I love that. But no, what he's getting at is he's not hearing the drama. in the meetings. He's just hearing people trying to keep the meeting on track, which is what they should be trying to do.
I mean, a question for the two board members here today that I've heard it today and I've heard it on Monday, that it was silly and there was comments and there was fighting. And I'm just trying to help me understand what specifically was said that was being argumentative or a fight amongst members or that was being silly. I mean, I know we've got this issue that was been brought up in public forum by two different task force members, which is a separate issue. But not once did I hear anything about that specific issue or those accusations mentioned during a task force meeting.
Yeah, because the outside of the meeting squabbling that's going on social media and maybe in the courts is, if it's not interfering with the meeting itself or it's not coming up in the meeting, then, it, you know, there's a little bit of a who cares to that.
And I don't remember hearing or watching anything where I saw people going after each other in that meeting that wasn't respectful and just either a disagreement on the way they felt about a policy or asking them to, hey, can we bring it back to the topic that we're discussing at the moment? So does anyone have any specific examples?
Which, it's a fair question, right? Bobby Burkett, District 1.
I don't necessarily have a specific example during the meeting. What I was mainly referring to was the statements that was made after and the...
You know how sometimes you say more with what you don't say than what you do? That's a great comment.
Okay. Somebody gets their feelings hurt by something that's said. I promise you, I beg you, if you're that type of person, gets your feelings hurt, don't ever even consider about running for public office because you'll be called everything in the book. It beats anything I've ever seen. But that's what I was talking about, was not necessarily what happened during the meeting, but what transpired after the meeting. That's what got me so upset.
By the way, for context, on Bobby Burkett saying that since being in public office, he's been called every name in the book, it beats everything he's ever seen. He was a code enforcement officer. You want to talk about people who get called stuff, right? That's sometimes horrendous. And so for him to say that public office is worse abuse than being a code enforcement officer is, I mean, you know, I'd worse than working as a corrections officer. You know, like what is the worst job in terms of abuse from people? Politician these days is not a great one. Colton Wright.
But let's not disparage the LDC task force or the zoning board or any of these other things. We are...
Because, by the way, both of them had made comments, both Bobby and Ray had made comments of maybe dissolving the task force. But, you know, which is seemed to me to be a bit abrupt and premature. And I think Colton is trying to head off any notion like that.
We're getting sidetracked by comments and articles being made in the media and what's being made on Facebook and comments made at this podium.
Stupid media.
That, frankly, are often not based 100% in fact. And a lot of it's opinion. And it's one side, not the whole story. And I would just ask that we stop engaging in that, stop taking the bait, because we're not getting anywhere with it. And I would encourage anyone out there in the media or anywhere else that has something that takes umbrage with something that's said, you know, in a zoning board meeting or LDC task force meeting, and reach out to the people directly and reach out to one of us directly and ask for the whole story. Because oftentimes when you get the other side and you get all of the facts, the picture is a lot different.
That is just good life advice right there. It almost sounds biblical. If you have a problem with somebody, talk to them, right? That's the first step, right? Ray Eddington finished all this up, kind of responding and summarizing.
And that's all what I'm talking about. Just stay on track. I'm not trying to put... I said I would do away with it, but they are doing a great job.
What?
But
Wait.
Yeah, I said I would... do away with it, but they are doing a great job.
Pick one, sir. It can't be both.
But I want them to stay on track and don't speak over other people. And we don't do that either. You know that.
I'll be nice. I mean, there's always a good advice. 6:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. There's your latest semi-drama from the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting over the squabbling on the Land Development Code Task Force and also whether or not to care about advancing the standards to No Atlas 14, or maybe better to wait till we get something from DEP at the end of this year. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, don't miss the Grand Fiesta Parade in downtown Pensacola. Don't miss the crews, high school bands, the King, Queen, and their court. The fun rolls at 7. The Fiesta Boat Parade is Saturday beginning at 1. The best place to catch the colorful parade from land will be from Sanders Beach, Corinne Jones Center, or Plaza de Luna downtown. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You're invited to bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This Tuesday, it's a brother and sister country music duo and Pensacola's very own Pearl and Rafe. Pearl brings the glitter, Rafe brings the grit, and together they bring the party wherever they go. It's Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7 with Pearl and Rafe. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Meow, 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 meow.
Spinderella cut it up one time.
What are you doing over here, John? You're like random ooing and moaning while I'm playing this song.
I mean, I was trying to do it a little bit to be sick.
Like harmonizing the grunts or something over here. I'm not quite sure what to make of that. I did go dig up the original, by the way.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110, 98, 90, ooh, even Pensacola Beach. Ooh! Are looking good. And I'm seeing any delays at all, my friends. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. It's a holiday. We do whatever we want.
North Korea's detained three shipyard officials following the failed launch of a naval destroyer. Leader Kim Jong-un blamed that on criminal negligence. State media reported that on Sunday. The destroyer was damaged during a launch ceremony. It tipped onto its side after a transport cradle detached.
Well, now, I heard that Kim Jong-un said that no such thing happened, that they didn't even have a destroyer, that it didn't launch badly, that those tarps were a mistake, the satellite imagery is fake, and the reports of him admitting there was a problem are all false. Did you not see that?
I did not see
that. And if Kim Jong-un says it's all... No, I'm kidding, of course. But you would think that's like...
I thought this was like a Jedi mind trick or something.
No, that's like the kind
of
thing
see nothing.
A dictator would tell us. I mean, do you think his own people know?
No, absolutely not.
And they certainly don't need a reason to execute the people there, whoever was touched. Anyway, go ahead. I interrupted your good explanation of what went wrong with the cradle and all.
No, it's okay. Moving on, a major power outage disrupted southeastern France on Saturday, halting events at the Cannes Film Festival. They were preparing to award their top prize. Police are investigating possible arson. Festival organizers, though, have confirmed that all of their scheduled events, including their closing ceremony, will proceed as planned. And boy, this one's a little odd. There's a manhunt underway for a former Arkansas police chief who apparently escaped from prison as he was serving time for murder and rape. Authorities say inmate Grant Hardin escaped from the North Central Unit in Calico Rock yesterday. He'd been at that prison since 2017. He's serving a 30-year sentence for first-degree murder and an additional sentence for rape. And he used to be the police chief in the city of Gateway, Arkansas.
Well, he would know the in and outs and know how to do that.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the age-old theory, right? Is that the best criminal make the best cop makes the best criminal because they understand, you know, how to do or how to get all that stuff. But
the line can be thin sometimes.
Man, that's awful. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 6:58 on News Radio 92.3. Of course, it is Memorial Day, the day when we think about the sacrifice made by those who put their lives at risk and paid that whole price for us and makes possible for us to have you know, silly conversations on the radio and for us to watch baseball games and drink beer and eat hot dogs and do all the fun things that we do. But, you know, just take a minute. Take a minute or two. Teach your kids. You know, teach your kids to commemorate the thing that was given on their behalf that they often don't even realize. And, you know, it is, I mean, it's a sobering thing to think about. 437-1620. Did you see this, that AI will, AI will blackmail you to protect itself? They give a computer the job of overseeing the accounts of a company, a fake company, that's got correspondence between one of the leaders and somebody else about an affair. And then they also have emails that are talking about disbanding the AI. And the AI will resort to trying to blackmail the person inappropriately engaged in the affair to keep that guy, I guess he's the IT director, from shutting down the AI. So, you know the moment in the movies when the AI becomes self-aware and dangerous? We're past it!